The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's time now for our weekly medical consultation with Dr. Ray Whalley. And Ray, a couple of things I want to talk to you about today, but I want to start with this study, which has a major international study, which confirms yet again that the measles vaccine does not cause autism. And this is important that this message keeps getting hammered home. Why?
Well, this was a massive study of 660,000 children in Denmark from 1999 to 2010, where they were able to look at the details on the link between autism and MMR, and they found no cases of autism.
None.
Zero.
Because this crank, the former doctor, struck off Andrew Wakefield, who has support on his Facebook forums and the movie he's made. This link, this false link that he posited back around 20 years ago, has stuck with so many people and continues to be the reason why so many children have not been vaccinated.
Exactly. And when his studies came out, they were on six cases. Six cases proves nothing. And when they were looked at in detail, it was falsified. Equally, there was allegedly a link with importing single-dose vaccines and a company he owned, meaning the allegation was that he had a conflict of interest in what he was espousing, and he lost his practicing license in the UK as a result. So he no longer is able to practice as a medical practitioner.
And yet, there are still people who believe him, and they prefer to believe his six cases instead of the 600,000 plus cases from Denmark. But the consequences of this, even again in the last week, a major outbreak of measles in which Dublin suburb?
In Finglas, there's an outbreak of measles in Finglas because individuals aren't getting vaccinated because many of them don't understand. They can't parse the stories between the fact and the fiction. And this is a scary thing in regard to people. Like, you know, when you practice as a medical practitioner, you have responsibilities. You have responsibilities to get accurate data and provide it. The problem is with many of these individuals, some of which are individuals with big names who are espousing the anti-vaccine story. It recently there in Costa Rica, there was a case where Costa Rica is a country where they had no measles, and a French child, 20-year-old, came in and unfortunately hadn't been vaccinated, got measles, and then it basically gave measles to many of the people in Costa Rica. So you're having first world countries, supposedly first world countries, now coming to third world countries, supposedly third world countries, who have sorted out their vaccine regime, and you have these countries now infecting the supposedly third world countries.
Well, that's a repeating of history, because I think that actually a lot of the Native American population was destroyed by measles in the first place, been brought from Europe many, many centuries ago. But this international thing, it's interesting though also that you mentioned 20-year-old who's no longer a child, an adult. Young adults now apparently are either choosing to go and get the vaccination that their parents deny them, or are finding that they actually have to have it if they want to travel to certain countries. Tell us about that.
Well, this is a recent thing whereby stories among general practitioners were finding that individuals who want to travel to the US on a work visa realise that it's an obligation to be fully vaccinated, and they're looking into why their parents didn't get them vaccinated. And when they look into this in detail, they find that there is no justification for it and they're getting vaccinated. It's only recently we had one of the rugby matches between Blackrock and another school which was stopped because there was an outbreak of measles.
Yes.
And we also had an outbreak in Trinity. So the unfortunate thing is it is 20 years now or so since Andrew Wakefield put out his misinformation. And what you're finding is those children are at university age. But it's also stories among general practitioners where we're finding that parents who previously wouldn't vaccinate their children are now getting work visas, and our children, they want to bring their children with them to America, but are now arranging the vaccination of their children. So which is an element of hypocrisy.
Okay. Actually, talking about hypocrisy as well, you were also telling me off air a little bit about these injections, multivitamin injections at about $500 a shot. I mean, people won't take the injections that are life-saving and good for them, and then they're stuffing themselves with injections of nonsense. Tell us about this.
Well, supposedly people like Madonna, this is an article that was in the Guardian there in early March, people like Madonna and Rihanna, Katy Perry, Rita Ora, Gwyneth Paltrow, are known to dabble in this sort of stuff. But you're talking about paying 500 to 2,000 sterling for injections.
Of what? What's in the injections?
Well, a good question. So, for example, one of these things is nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide. What is that? Nicotine is what's in cigarettes. So that's what's called a vasoconstrictor. that narrows your airways. And not surprisingly, people get chest pain, but they seem to enjoy this. The problem is, if that progresses into a heart attack, this is very dangerous stuff. If I was doing this in my practice and somebody notified a medical council, I'd be summarily stopped from using my medical license. This is serious stuff. But the sad thing about it here is you're talking to people who have obviously eminent names who stand out there. They're willing to pay the money, take the risk.
For what alleged benefit?
Well, I suppose he makes you feel good. I'm not too sure. I haven't had chest pain where I felt good with. So I don't understand that, but I'm afraid it is a racket. One has to question, is somebody getting a little bit of money from this? But it's snake oil medicine. It definitely is snake oil medicine, and it's very, very concerning.
Okay, but let's come to the thing. RT Investigates recently alleged the number of patients prescribed antidepressants on publicly funded drug schemes has increased by nearly 20% over the last 5 years. Are doctors guilty of overprescribing antidepressants?
Well, there probably is an element of overprescribing, but it's in context. And the context is that it is difficult to access counselling. We live in an era where people are definitely more educated. Good thing is they're now starting to come earlier with anxiety, depression, and they want something to help in regard to it. So we would certainly advocate as general practitioners, the first line of methodology in dealing with this is talk medicine. So getting counselling. But the problem is if you have a medical card, which 50% of the population do, or 40% of the population do, and you have waiting lists for that, if you are an individual who is paying for your full healthcare, you need to access counselling. That can be expensive. So there is evidence that medication helps. Now, this is a worldwide phenomenon. This is not unique to Ireland. There was a review of this back in 1998, 2012, by a think tank in the UK, independent think tank called the Nuffield Institute. It was evident there. What is happening in Ireland is evident in the UK as well, and evident in the US, whereby people are coming earlier. They are basically getting more medication. Now, part of this also includes a review during the bad times in the Celtic era. We were aware that people were coming with more anxiety and depression. There is a suspicion that a lot of these people are getting it with more anxiety symptoms than depressive symptoms. We are moving away as general practitioners from using anxiolytic drug tranquilizers, meaning benzodiazepines, things like that. And I don't see this as a bad thing because people are coming and actually accessing care. But we do need to make better access to counselling services.
Yeah, but are the people actually using the benzodiazepines themselves, or are they selling them on in the black market? I mean, there's apparently a massive trade for these things in the black market, whether it's legitimate drugs that are sourced via doctors or whether it's stuff that's coming in on the internet or stuff the drug gangs are now actually selling.
Well, there was a spotlight programme done in the UK, Northern Ireland part of the UK, and basically they found the majority of the stuff on the streets was actually being brought in illegally. And I think that is the case in Ireland as well. I'm afraid as a general practitioner, I am fed on a monthly basis my benzodiazepines prescribing. We are educating our GPs more of it. The next generation, I'm a trainer GP, and my experience is the next generation hardly prescribe anxiolytic tranquilizer benzos at all, which is good medicine. And we are reducing what we're getting from prescriptions, is my understanding. Maybe it'll be proved differently with this. But the other thing we need to emphasize in regard to depression is in managing it, it is not just counseling. It is not just medication. It's involving people you know to support you. It's getting out and getting exercise, using those endorphins to actually get you happier. I'm afraid developing a better routine. Certainly, this isn't unique to Ireland. And I don't see it as a bad thing that people are coming earlier with mental health problems. Remember, we do have about 500 or 600 people, unfortunately, committing suicide every year in this country.
Thank you very much for joining us as ever for our weekly medical consultation, Dr. Ray Whalley.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.